instead of learning the lessons that you've just talked about, that would make us better prepared for the next one, that we are setting legal precedent in place that would actually make us more vulnerable next time round. And, you know, there are many different examples of this. State legislatures around the country have put in orders that make it more difficult for people to put in, say, mask mandates or quarantine orders. That contributes to how hard it is to fight something like Omicron. It is going to make it more difficult to deal with the next variants. It's going to make it more difficult to deal with the next pandemics, which I guarantee you we will face.
Well, Ed, we're going to have to go, but I wanted to wish you a happy 40th birthday. I know it was very difficult. You wrote a piece talking about canceling your 40th birthday because of Omicron. Thank you so much for being with us. Ed Yong, science writer at The Atlantic, won the Pulitzer Prize for his reporting on the pandemic. We'll link to his pieces. That does it for our show. Remember, wearing a mask is an act of love. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Good day, and welcome to More Talk Radio on KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and KBOO.FM via the World Wide Web. And if you are listening live, well, you will be alive whenever you listen, but if you are listening while we are broadcasting, today is the 10th of January, and it is about 8:01 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I am joined by my co-host, Celeste Carey, and you. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we haven't spoken to each other since last year, so... Have a glorious new year.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
It has been. It's been several weeks since we've broadcast. So the last time it was in December sometime.
Yes, that's right. I am here courtesy of, we'll call it Shared Willpower. Anybody met Cher Willpower?
Cher Willpower, uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, very popular amongst those of us who are still up and walking around and pretending like we can keep it going. You know, I feel better than I sound, even though I don't feel so great. But I wasn't going to leave my co-host hanging. Because when we planned the show, I was feeling much better. But, you know, don't mind the voice. As a matter of fact, let's put it to work. Anybody got furniture that needs sanding?
Well.
We're here today to talk about a few things that just don't seem to change and how we're going to address them. As well as Cecil thought it might be a good idea to kind of do a recap of some of the things that were really significant to us this past epic. I don't even know what to call 2021. You know, we called 2020 a dumpster fire. And then I'm not quite sure what we want to call 2021. But I know one thing, even though I know things are not necessarily the same, I don't I'm not getting pessimistic and giving up. Let me put it that way.
Well, this is good to know. So as we begin our conversations this morning, perhaps you might want to add a descriptor to 2021, a tagline, and we'll go with that. But we invite you to share some of your thoughts about the significant events, either globally, nationally, or individually, that marks 2021 for you, for our world, and what do we make of it, and where do we go from here? Again, our phone numbers are 503-231-8187, and we invite you to have some meaningful conversation and share your knowledge and insights with your wider community. Of course, when anyone talks about 2021, one of the things that inevitably comes up is at least the impact of the 2020 election, and of course we have been inundated for days with many programs and reflection of the insurrection on January 6, 2021. So that's how we began the year 2021, and maybe that was a sign of that year, a year of disruption, interruption, confusion, and in many ways, rebellion.
An insurrection.
Yes.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Well, I thought one of the things that was really interesting about 2021 was how we are being further limited in what we can speak about in terms of reality. And it's almost like the ghost of Kelly Conway's alternative facts is circling around us, because whenever folks of color want to discuss issues like, oh, I don't know, meaningless minor things like racism, institutional racism, being killed, walking down the street, driving down the street, eating ice cream in your house, it's considered divisive. And so it has been very difficult for us to get past the flashpoints of anger sometimes that come with dealing with being on the receiving end of American, United States of America, let me put it that way, oppression and racism. We can't seem to talk about it, because if you talk about it, well, then you're being accused of being divisive. Now, I was reading this year how some Black authors are finding it difficult to even just have their books read by young people, the books being written for these young people to help them deal with racism, to help them deal with what it means to be othered so violently. And they're being shunned, or their books are being banned, and they're being accused of teaching critical race theory when all they're doing is trying to teach kids the color survival skills, how to have good self-esteem. And so for me, especially when I tried to end the year in terms of universal conversation, I find this to be ironic, in that we are doing everything we can, it seems, here in America to block the reality of who we started out as a nation, you know, of our fundamental roots, of the way we have stepped on top of others to get where we are in this hierarchy in the world. And it's frustrating, because until you are able to embrace that ugly truth of who you are, you can't grow. And so I wonder, you know, where is 2022 going to take us, if even simple books about how to survive racism as a young person are being banned because they are mistakenly being labeled as critical race theory.
Well, that's something to talk about, and we'll explore more. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. 2021, what was significant about that year? What have you taken from that, and where is it leading you? Let's go to our first caller who has some thoughts. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I'm the person who called a while ago, 6, 7, 8 months ago, concerning our country coming apart and having regions that we need to look at in going forward. My one word for 2021 in reflection would be quicksand.
Quicksand.
We are just unable to dig out of this mess. And we are continuing to sink further and further because we have a minority in this country who, I want to give an analogy, Aaron Rodgers a while ago went in front of the Chicago Bear fans and said, "I own you." He was very proud of the fact that he has been such a dominant figure over the years with winning football games that he feels like, whatever I do, I am owning you. And that's what a lot of conservatives, especially white supremacists right now, are feeling concerning their belief that Trump is taking them in a direction where either they're going to win or we are going to come apart. And so I look at quicksand because no matter what you do when you're in it, unless you have help from outside sources, you are going to sink. And I am sorry to be so negative concerning that, but this last year, if an insurrection, you're not able to come to terms with the idea that this insurrection is so wrong, and if we don't get a handle on it, then we are lost. And that's the way I feel concerning the country right now.
What do you...
I've always been a little... Pardon me?
No, I was... Go ahead. I'll let you finish, and then I have a question for you. Go ahead.
No, just that I have always been a progressive. I love this country, but I'm willing to look at its faults, and I've, as an educator, have always wanted to learn the truth. And that's what we are not wanting to... A significant part of our populace does not want anything to do with the truth. They want it to be their way, and they want to rewrite history, as we're even seeing in recent history, that people are saying that this insurrection was not what progressives make it out to be. When we can look at tape and what actually happened that day over and over and go, how are you able to look at that and not have a more realistic perspective about this having happened?
Well, a question I have for you is you mentioned that with your analogy of quicksand and needing help to pull out of the quicksand or we will continue to sink. What do you see a source of pulling us out of this quicksand, or is it inevitable we'll just continue to sink?
We are badly in need of a strong leader who has moral principles that we can all, or not that many of us can get on board with. My belief right now is that it needs to come from a more conservative leader, someone who has a big picture in mind that has a certain amount of respect with the Republican Party and have people redirect some of their thinking. But right now, the leadership is all about Trump, and he is so morally broken and has been for as long as I can remember, but he has captured the segment of society is getting so much traction. And until that leadership model is broken and we get somebody more morally upright, then I don't see us coming together.
Now, you know, when you said the words strong leader, I shudder.
I did too, and then I also shuddered at the idea of conservative without a definition or some context, and I shudder at the fact that you've couched it in terms that people are going to automatically dichotomize and polarize, and that being putting it in terms of morals or ethics or principles. It seems like before we can do that, we need to just have conversations amongst ourselves. Because while I do appreciate a strong leader, I appreciate personal responsibility and people not owning up to what they need to do. Don't care about a strong leader. If people don't take responsibility for their part in this, then it doesn't matter what a leader does, because they're not going to follow.
Okay, and I accept and I appreciate, and this is the type of conversation I wish we could have. When I use the term strong leader, that I'm not used to talking on the radio like this, so that I know that my words are, we can dissect them. Mm-hmm. What I mean is maybe somebody like a Mitt Romney, who has shown some backbone and has worked with progressives in the past. Yeah. If he were to come and kind of gain traction, I guess a strong leadership, somebody who has a certain respect, and this country will never have somebody that we can all get on board with, but
right.
Just get the ball rolling in the right direction. And as I say, I did not vote for Mitt, but I believe that he has been someone who has had some kind of moral standing where he's not able to completely go toe-to-toe with Trump because he gets beaten back by such vocal minority, but he has had a moral standing of this guy is not right, and he's just quietly... But that type of person who we can get this ball going in the other direction.
Yeah,
until somebody like that comes along, I don't see us getting out of this.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said, and Mitt Romney is a good example. He was, governor of Massachusetts. But at the same time, I don't see anyone or any forces on the horizon of rising up to that challenge. Those who are part of the Trump cult are unable to see anyone other than the person they worship, and the occasional conservative who has stood up has been knocked down, and I think just the picture of last week at the Congressional Memorial of the January 6th insurrection, and there were no Republicans there except for Liz Cheney and her father, the former vice president, and they were a person non grata. And if Dick Cheney, the embodiment of all I think is evil and conservatism, if he is not welcome, I don't know who that person is. At least I haven't seen that person yet.
Right, and just a last comment. If I were to come up with the ideal type person, it would be some female. I believe our country, it's past time that we have a female that represents some of our country's values. A strong female, a young person, someone with ideas, even conservative ideas. And just like with Barack Obama in 2008, lightning in a bottle can be caught on occasion, and that's what I think we need, because I don't think a progressive is going to be able to bring the country together. And although I am that, I recognize this needs to come from the other side to kind of to really tamp down just how much traction the extreme conservative right has gained. So I will let somebody else go on, but I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe. And it reminds me that it was only Nixon who could open the door to China. A conservative is an example. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We began our conversation this morning talking, looking back at 2021. What are significant incidents or noted things about that year, and where do you see us going? Let's go to Cody, who is waiting to share. Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. How you doing, Celeste? How you hanging in there?
I have been better, and I'm not even sure what I got. I was telling Cecil, I'm part of a medical study where I've gotten another vaccine in addition to COVID. And so on one hand, if this is COVID, the symptoms are mild, I guess. I mean, you know, what does mild mean? It's a relative statement. Okay. But then again, it's like it's weird because I both feel extremely sick and not sick at the same time. So, my whole frame of reference is skewed. All I know is that
I had to make sure that was you talking. I said he didn't actually say Celeste over the air and her voice, and I got confused for a minute. I said, wait a minute, that sounds like I got a little confused.
It's me. Well, I wouldn't have done the show except that I woke up feeling markedly worse than I did when Cecil and I talked and checked in Saturday and yesterday, and I thought I can't leave him hanging. So well, I've already made the decision. After I'm done, I'm crawling back into my bat cave. But
okay,
I mean,
well,
you know, enough of me. What I want to talk about is, you know, I hear everybody freaking out. They're getting angry. People don't know what to do. Do I go to work with Omicron? Do I stay home with Omicron? Do I tip my DoorDash driver? You know, take an Uber? You know, was it an insurrection or was it a freedom fight? You know, everybody's all confused. But
right, right.
Two things. I want to talk, and then you and I need to engage. And one is, it's not going back to whatever we thought we had before. It's just not, people. It's time to move forward. Where are we going? How do we want to get there?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think the country is being turned into a nation of hypochondriacs. I'm not knocking that. This country has gone through the influenza, which was really, really, really bad, and it was knocking people off like overnight. I mean, the level of death associated with the influenza virus. And I think we're lucky that we're not dealing with something that intense. And other than that, you're right. The country is changing, and it, like you said, I don't think it's coming back. And unfortunately, you know, this is a country that constantly says we the people, and I think it's going to be we the people that's going to have to make the final decision, and if not, then somebody else is going to make it for us. I think there are a lot of people out there with good intentions that are paving us straight to Hades, especially for the black descendant of slaves, people of this country. And I'm starting to understand things a little bit more. I'm starting to understand people a little bit more. And I'm starting to realize that a lot of the conflicting groups, a lot of them are family members and they're not telling us. And so it makes me back off a little bit. So when I hear a progressive talking, I question their sincerity or the wisdom in what they're doing and how black people in America are being undermined, because mm-hmm. it's not just the... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yes, I agree with you, because what I started out talking about is just how everyday stories by black artists are being, and authors and people are being censored or criticized or, you know, blocked, because this country doesn't want to face up to one of its challenges, you know, which is
right.
we capitalize, and I mean both the pun and the literal definition, we capitalize on otherness. We capitalize on division.
Well, I mean, we're dealing with, like the other caller said, a history. And what the other caller may not understand is that we're talking about a history of inequity and inherited wealth, and no one has really had a serious conversation about money in America and how money dictates how you're treated by the society, and how unfortunately the black community is associated with poverty instead of just seeing black community like any other community that has a hodgepodge of everything, you know. So
yes.
I listen to a lot of progressives, and I wonder, I almost find myself questioning their motives, and are they really listening? Because I remember Martin Luther King said it's about the content of your character. And I think that had something to do with dealing with sociopathic behavior that all people of all races and all genders have to deal with. And I'm seeing sociopaths take over personally, and it has nothing to do with race. But unfortunately, the wrong people out there aren't listening, and they're not trying to pick up where the civil rights movement left off. And everything's getting completely muddled.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
And like Celeste said, there's no more debate. There's no more civilized debate. The second someone comes up, they accuse that person of misinformation instead of both of them sitting down and having a debate.
Well, I appreciate what you've said, and you've said a lot to... that we can reflect on a lot of
okay.
truths you
okay.
have shared with us.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you guys go.
Okay, thank you, Cody.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Cody.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. One thing that Cody mentioned in terms of the ability to have fruitful conversation, and I think Joe also referred to that, I wonder if there has ever been a time in the United States where we have been, people on opposite side have been able to settle their disputes peacefully and with an understanding of the humanity of their opponent. I go back to the 1800 presidential election, which was probably a harbinger of what things would be like. And that election was filled with a lot of angry words, and this is a nation that lost hundreds of thousands of people in a civil war battle, and continue throughout our history, one in which we have been faced with conflict and people and inability to come together. But maybe that's my pessimism, and maybe you have some other perspective. And I think, is Corey still waiting for us? Oh, Corey, thank you so much for your patience. Please share your thoughts.
Sure. Good morning, Chico and Celeste. I'm glad to hear from you guys. I'll keep it brief. The first caller mentioned Mitt Romney, and to me that's kind of scary, because it almost seems like at the core of I hate to say this, but at the core of whiteness is this basically ability to sort of revert back to this, you know, to revert back to whiteness. You can't throw
yes.
Mitt Romney's name. Mitt Romney won't even vote for the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Mitt Romney rejected his own ideas on health care. Mitt Romney was also rejected by many Christians because he was a Mormon. And even when people talk about Liz Cheney, it wasn't but 5 or 6 years ago, Liz Cheney was a birther. So if these are the people that are the saviors, I'm like, then we're really kind of in a bad pickle. And I also don't want to look at these leaders. I look at the people. I was in Portland this
morning.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Full disclosure, I had an interview at a university. They wanted a face-to-face. We might be coming back to Portland. But I still know people in Portland, Oregon, who reverted from Obama to Trump.
Right.
And I can understand Obama to Cheney, but Obama to Trump, that's a bit of a pendulum swing to me. And I think, you know, when we talk about 2021, one of the biggest things I realize, and I hate to admit this, is that I work in the field of academia, and what I've seen over the past several years is that you have a lot of people who claim to be woke, and they are the gatekeepers, and they are the stakeholders, but what they want is a token. And they want to, you know, especially with a person like me, who is a person of color. Case in point, I was supposed to teach a class I am teaching a class at a university right now, and I wanted to use a text from John McWhorter's Woke Racism. Not because I agree with John McWhorter 100%, or, you know, I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but
no.
I wanted to use the text to critique Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility, because in a lot of ways I agree that Robin DiAngelo's book really sort of infantilized black folks. So, and I was told I couldn't use that book because, you know, as a white woman who wants to hire a black man, I cannot critique Robin DiAngelo and White Fragility. And I think that's sort of where we're at now, where I'm like, okay, even the gatekeepers, the quote unquote allies, we have to watch them as well. Like, and I guess that's my point, to where I get a racist. I understand who a Proud Boy. I'm from Texas. I know racism, and I get it. Racism can be in a Proud Boy in Portland or a racist from Texas. But what I'm realizing more and more is that some of these allies really throw me off. And in my final point, you know, when I was interviewing for this university, and one of the questions, they were like, well, how can we bring in more, quote-unquote, you know, African-American, black people? I'm like, well, are you recruiting at any HBCUs? And I kid you not, this is a person with a PhD, had no idea what an HBCU was. So there's this really weird insular bubble. And that's the thing. I love the Pacific Northwest. I'm in Seattle now. Like I said, I just left Portland. But, you know, these are quote-unquote allies. And I think that what's happening now, what I realized last year, is that everybody knows how to use the language of wokeness, but they're not really willing to make the change. And that goes back to the first caller. If you're a progressive and you're throwing out Mitt Romney, that's sort of just like, okay, you're not really down. I'm sorry.
You know, I would, you said a lot of wise things just now, and I would just love to be in a class taught by you, in which you talk about Robin DiAngelo and John McWhorter. Oh gosh, I would love to hear your thoughts. Oh yes.
Ditto on that. I would get a kick out of it. It would be so refreshing to have some academic honesty. You know, because like I said, you will find that we can't even talk about what our reality is without being told that just mentioning the agreed upon fact is considered divisive. You know, an agreed upon fact is that in this country, Africans were bought to be chattel slaves. Now, there's so many objective records and documentation of that. You would think that people would be willing to get over it. But no, the code language that they hear is, oh, we got to give up what's ours, and we don't want to give up ours, even if we stole what is ours, you know. The beauty is like, if you could just talk about it and be honest and say, yeah, okay, that's the reality, then we could start building something new. But everybody keeps pushing us back past or even away from the starting gate. You can't even get to the starting gate in this conversation, because the moment you say, I'm a person of color, oh, why you got to play the race card? Because that's how we built this system. We built this system on capitalizing otherness. And I'm going to say it again, unintended and literal definition of capitalizing intended.
You know, we monetize and weaponize anything we can get our hands on. And unfortunately, what we don't promote, however, is the beauty and the freedom that falls into recognizing the error of our ways and let's make a change. My God, if I was going to say anything about 2022, I would say if 2020 hindsight is not something, 2022 is coming in blind. They got on dark sunglasses at pitch black night because they don't want to see. That's it. I love listening.
Everywhere I've been, whether it's Texas or Canada, I've always been listening to you guys. So you guys are cathartic for me. So I always, wherever I'm at, I will always call you guys. So thank both of you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. Yes. Today is Monday, the 10th of January, and it's about 8:34. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and let us know what are your thoughts about 2022 and back to 2021. And let's see, where are we headed? So far, the sense I got from the callers is a sense of, if not pessimism, but certainly not optimism about the directions we are going. Is that what you felt, that the general drift of the conversation so far, Celeste?
Well, I won't say pessimism outright. I'll say some resignation, you know, because when I was listening to Corey, I was hearing resignation. But here's the thing. See, I can't allow myself to get pessimistic by this. I told you about this dream I had, and I don't know if it was meant to be in a more universal perspective or if it was really localized to something immediate that I'm involved in. But I was trying to get a bunch of people to safety, and there was water and storms and waves coming up and the earth being just flooded all around us. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs to people, please, just go this way. Stop lollygagging. Stop doing this. You know, things are not going to return to the way they were. And for some reason, I was tasked with getting people to safety who did not care to follow or listen to what I was saying. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, you know, whether they follow you or not is not the point. The point is you still need to discharge this duty and do whatever it was you said you would do to try to get things done right. And my whole thing about this is it's not just me, but what if every single one of us in our areas were called to just such a time as now? And rather than sit up here and rail against the fact that things are not the way they should be in our estimation or not the way they used to be in our memory, that we prepare to be the solution for the here and now. What if we are made for just such a time as this? And rather than sit up and be pessimistic, our job is to figure out how do I make this work for most people? You know, because I didn't take that whole part of my dream where I'm trying to get people to safety like I'm special. I treated it like I had a duty. I had a responsibility to get folks to some place where they could not just survive but thrive, and due to something that I had, I was supposed to act for a bigger purpose. And you know, it goes back to what our first caller was saying about, you know, we need to look at somebody like Mitt Romney. And I was kind of incensed, and I said, oh, once again a white person is framing everybody's solution in terms of a white man. What is this? You know, when we talk about having a broader view, don't have your automatic go-tos. Be willing to, you know, look at something different and give something that has been othered value, you know. It's just the fact that the answer is not going to necessarily come from your experience, but it could come from somebody else's experience.
And I think that Celeste illustrates the challenges we face, that the go-to is sort of like white male is the way in which we begin to see and view the world. And so much, I think, of the resistance to what people are doing and saying is that people are offering another way in which to view the world other than the what has been the dominant cultural view, where the go-to is white cis male capitalist, and those who are offering different views. The 1619 Project is being resisted because it's offering a different way of viewing what has happened on this land. If you hear the insights and the perspective of Native people on this land, their perspective of what has happened in the United States is totally different than, you know, red, white, and blue and George Washington. But let's hear some other perspectives. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And Annalisa, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I have a cold.
Oh, dear.
But that's all right. I just have a small comment in the first place for a person for leadership. I have mentioned her before, is Stacey Abrams. Mm-hmm. I saw her, fortunately, again in an interview on television, and she strikes me as a perfect person for President of the United States. And then last week, I also watched an interview with the Chinese dissident Ai Weiwei,
mm-hmm.
or Ai Weiwei.
Yes.
And he said that the United States is slipping slowly into not a dictatorship, but an autocracy, while we still think that we're in a democracy.
Mm.
And I found that extremely informative, and I think we have to watch out and fight for all the rights of all the people, and hopefully we'll get better leadership than we had before,
yeah.
until 2020. Anyway, have a very good day, and I hope that we will have a better year than we had before.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Before you go, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yes. I wanted you mentioned Stacey Abrams, and I wanted you to say what about her that makes her a good person to be president?
She is extremely open.
Uh-huh.
Of course, she has an integrity that is worth paying attention to, mm-hmm. and she has a lot of experience. I don't know, what is the saying? She doesn't take any punches she is very wise and has a lot of experience in politics. She is now going for governor of Georgia again, and after that, I hope that she will be a candidate for president.
Very good.
So,
yes.
I have listened to her whenever I can over the years, and I find her a beautiful, strong woman and a good leader. But she went door to door to get people to vote and explain. And that was, of course, for the 2020 presidency. She herself went door to door, and all those things that she does has convinced me that she is the perfect leader.
Great. Well, thank you.
Well, I won't call her the perfect leader, but I support her, and I prefer her over Kamala Harris because I feel like she's more in touch with what the needs of our country are, you know, from lots of different perspectives. I don't want to stereotype or categorize Kamala, but one of the frustrations with people is that she's a tad bougie and out of touch, and that's not necessarily her most prominent feature, but that's what a lot of people see. They see her as being more a product of the upper echelons of tainted leadership instead of somebody who is well educated, has gone to, you know, the prestigious bastions like Yale, you know, law school, et cetera, but still retain that touch that allows her to speak with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that she does that, because to me that means she's trying to build bridges, you know, and that's what I think we have to do. It's not always negating somebody's position, but sometimes it's building a bridge from where they are, you know, to everybody else's position, including our own, so that we can move back and forth and we share our thoughts, share. And I feel like Stacey does a better job of that than Kamala does. But, you know, I totally agree with you that she is a good candidate for a great leader.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, not that I don't think one is necessarily better than the other, that we're all different. And the vice president is a graduate of a HBCU. She's a good bison and a AKA Alpha. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And let's go to Francis, who's on the line right now. Francis. Hi, good morning.
Hello.
I agree with you about building bridges, and I also agree with your caller. I really appreciate Stacey Abrams. I heard the tail end of a conversation with Hillary Clinton the other day in which she was suggesting that Democrats not be too progressive because we need to defeat the Republicans, and I thought, oh my goodness, here we go again.
Again, yes.
The fact is that we have not been progressive enough to be able to speak to the quote-unquote other side, to let them know that our mission is their mission, and the things that are being promoted, the progressive things that are being promoted, the progressive policies will benefit everyone, every single person in this country, and bring us together. And I don't know, corporate media has a lot to do with it. I don't know how the words Black Lives Matter became a political issue. There's nothing political about it.
No.
It's a fact. It's a truth. It's what is real in this country, and it is not a political issue. For the school board in Newburgh to decide that it is lets me see how far the media has allowed that scenario that representation to continue, in order to continue conflict, in order to make money off of conflict. And I wish there were enough leaders in this country right now who were not afraid to be progressive and proud of it, the way that liberal became a bad word. Mm-hmm. There's nothing bad about being a liberal. And down here on the ground, here in Portland, Oregon, we just lost another young man from my old neighborhood who's only 39 years old, and he was shot and killed over in North Portland, and nobody knows who did it, nobody knows why, they don't even know. All this random stuff is happening, and we're not addressing whoever's orchestrating these kinds of things in our own community in order to protect their jobs or whatever the world they're doing, I don't know. But it's pretty sad that we are so caught up in this political, whatever you want to call it, diatribe, that we're not recognizing what is happening right here in our own community to our own children. And we need to get real. Anyway.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Francis, for focusing us on the reality of life and death in our communities, and how so much of what we do or say prevent us from looking at the immediate challenges that we face in our community. For all those who grieve the loss of loved one because of intimate violence and shootings, poor health care, and yes, police violence. These are realities that people live with as they face the challenges of surviving from day to day. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We've been speaking this morning about not so much 2022, but reflecting on 2021. What are the lessons we have learned, and where do you see we are going? In the last few minutes we have, perhaps we should look forward. What are things that we can do or are doing in this coming year that will change the course of our common history? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And, you know, at the beginning of the new year, people, you know, take out gym memberships and have these glorious goals. And, you know, by the third week, you know, the goals are often fading away, and gyms are just taking
reality
in the money.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that's really interesting is that I'm reading how people are trying to move forward with the concept of coronavirus as a fixture. Mm-hmm. And one of the articles I read was, you know, don't go work out if you got the coronavirus. It can, you know, make your symptoms worse, totally exacerbate your situation here. I've also read that a lot of people are giving up on gym membership. So, you know, the whole idea of resolution of change might have undergone its own evolution. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm thinking, like I said, think in terms of if I am supposed to be a solution for some of the problems in my realm of experience and existence, how am I going to be a solution? What do I do? What must I do? And that's the situation I want to pose, you know, as we look at 2022. If this show were 2 hours, you know, one of the things I'd launch into is how much we need to determine what reality is for all of us in terms of a positive outcome. Because one of the things I see happening is art is once again imitating life. And I got a chance to visit family, which might be why I sound like, you know, vocal sandpaper. But we watched together Don't Look Up, and I was just amazed at how spot on so much of what is said in the movie was, and how it captures not just our anxiety and worry, but our own little traps we set for each other, and we end up getting caught in ourselves, you know. And the telling moment, well, I don't want to be, no, I can't do that.
Well,
I
no, don't away. Tell.
Spoilers.
No,
no, I'm not.
No spoilers.
I'm not. I caught myself.
Great.
But it's just a moment of,
who is telling you something, and why are you honor bound, duty bound, bound and determined to follow what they're saying? And so that is the absolute truth.
You know, I
see that there's more than one side to the story.
You know, I also watch that movie, and you know, there have been a lot of reflections, commentators, you know, comparing it to, oh, what was the movie in the early 60s about the end of
Network.
The world? Huh?
Oh, no, not Network. I was thinking of the
yeah.
big movie. Not Network.
Not Network.
Early Day the Earth Stood Still.
Say that world again?
World. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
No, no. It's of the same genre of Don't Look Up, comic, but yet a social commentary.
Oh, Dr. Strange.
Thank you. Dr. Strange Love. Thank you, Ray. So, you know, that's
yeah.
You know, some people have compared it unfavorably to Dr. Strange Love, but when I watched it, that was the movie that first came to my mind. So maybe it's the Dr. Strange Love for this generation.
Well, I don't think that people should necessarily criticize it as though that's a negative thing. No. Things are cyclic. You know, things are cyclic. There's nothing new on the sun. What goes around comes around, yada, yada. The most important thing is, do we learn from it so
yes.
that when problems that are similar come around, we don't put our heads in the ground, or we don't carry our heads or our behinds in our hands running around talking about, What should I do? You know,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. And for me, the big thing about 2022 is talk to somebody. Talk and listen. Listen to somebody. Listen, then talk.
And that's a challenge that from our earliest caller this morning, talk about
yes.
One of the challenges we face. We are unable to talk and or listen. I mean, and that is sounds simple, but it's very fundamental, and it's yet something we have not, we do not put in practice.
Well, I tell you what, that's going to be one of the things we're going to focus on, I think, for 2022 here on More Talk Radio, is how can we engage in conversation where we hear and feel and understand each other.
One of our callers reminded me this morning that it is sometimes difficult to pause and to allow the other to speak and to put yourself in a position to say, perhaps they have something that I need to hear. I will suspend my judgment momentarily so that I may be able to receive what they have. And on the opposite side, to be able to share your perspective with the other person and saying that although that person is someone who I think I totally disagree with, perhaps something I have to say is something that they are able to receive. So again, to suspend our immediate tendency to judge and to say, what if it is possible for us to communicate? Now, I know this might be the time to cue in the violins and all, but you
no,
know.
No, I think you're on point. I think you're on point, and I was listening to what you said, and no pun intended, you know, but we've tried a whole bunch of other things, and they haven't been working, and I am going to remember what my mom said. I think a lot of us, you know, had somebody just said this in our life, you know, like, well, if that's not working, do something different, because if you keep doing the same thing, expecting a new result, what's that? And there it is.
There it is.
And there it is.
So as we come to a conclusion of this program this morning, we want to thank all of you for listening, for being in and communication with one another, for caring for one another, and for our communities and for our world. Try to stay safe, look out after one another, wash your hands, wear a mask.
Wash your hands, wear a mask, gargle.
Make sure that you are vaccinated and boosted, and we will see you on the other side. Well, not, no, no, okay, we will.
We'll hear you.
No. Hopefully we'll hear and speak with you next week.
There you go. This has been your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at